Hey, this goes out to the ABS fam, to the crew getting ready at the Pepsi can. DJ Triple T banging thunder with the hype jams. My dog Bernie getting smiles in the West Stands. To the kids in the hall playing hockey. Radio Moser with the call, I know you got me. To the man who caught the puck with his bare hand. Jake Schroeder paying respects with the national anthem. To all the jerseys and the signs and the programs. LG Red, Nikki Hurdle in the beer man. TV crews, beat reporters and the ice girls. To Rycroft, Kiefer and John Lyles. To Big Z, Mac, Landy and Rantanen. To the crowd getting fizzy at the Pepsi can. To the one and only world's best hockey fans. Here we go, shout out ABS fam.
The ColoradoHockey.com podcast is brought to you by
FSwing.com.
AVSFAM.com.
You know, I heard somebody say recently that Chicago has the best national anthem singer in the entire league, and I disagree. He is the most unique. He's also the most annoying. He is the most strange. He is the most everything except for the best. The best is definitely in Colorado. His name is Jake Schroeder. We paid homage to him in the intro song to this podcast, and I honestly believe this guy puts out the best anthem you can find in the league. Kudos to Jake Schroeder. You know what? As long as we're being nice and handing out praise to people, I have to give credit to the Avalanche in-game staff. It's a really good show. I don't know why more people aren't in the seats, and I don't know why more of them aren't wearing Avs jerseys, but I think all that's going to get better. Meanwhile, they continue to put a good product on the ice, both in the players, in the light show, in the in-between period show, and everything that they do. Line cam, right? How awesome is line cam? And if it hasn't become clear by now, we'll be bouncing around a little bit in this podcast. So anytime that you hear this noise, that means we moved on. You know, one thing we could do is to zoom way in, get in the weeds and talk about the last game or the game before that or the way that one player played or how somebody's affecting the team in the last week. But I'll be honest with you, we don't need to do that anymore. BSN has the every game thing covered, right? It's super important. They cover it within 24 hours, therefore it's still relevant. But after that, it's just not. And I think it's awesome they're pulling that off because it gives us a chance to stay a little bit more general in our thoughts, but also to dig in on things we like every Avs player ever, or the future of hockey, or our in-between episodes where we sit down with people and talk to them for an hour to an hour and a half, sometimes 2 hours, about something in-depth like goalies. Take a look back at the Cat Silverman or AJ Hayfley or any of the podcasts we've done in the in-between episodes. They're deep, trust me. So if we had to answer the question, then how are things in general? If we zoom out a little bit, are we still unhappy with the way the Avs are playing? If you were on Twitter, would you be bitching and moaning and complaining at 140 characters? Maybe 280 if you're lucky. Anyways, I think that in general, we have to be happy. It's already a win. We are fighting for a playoff spot, and there's actually a chance that we could get it. It's not some weird mathematical algorithm that only Einstein could possibly understand that equals the curve of the Earth or us making the playoffs. That's a win, folks. We're competing for a playoff spot, and we may get one. And even if we don't, we have to be happy with the progress that we made. The team doesn't. They should be pissed. They should be like, we're better than that, because they should be better than that. But this is how you learn to be better than that, is going through it. And if you look at the way that Sakic has set this up, it's set up so that all these guys can grow together. They can learn together. They can hold each other accountable together. It's not one guy who's been in the league for 5 years who's over all the bullshit of a rookie and some rookie just trying to find his way. I mean, there's a little bit of that when you look at Gerard and so on, but they're all so close together in age and ability that I think that there is a really good chance this is going to be an awesome team for a really long time. We just have to get there. We have to have seasons like this. We don't have to have seasons like the one we had before because that really sucked, but seasons like this, next season I expect us to make the playoffs. And let's say we go one or two rounds deep. That would be a huge win, but just making the playoffs is the goal. After that, I expect the moon. In 3 years from now, we should be competing for a cup. That's how I see it going. And if we're not, that means that we didn't do things quite right, and we're going to have to make some adjustments along the way. Could be trades. You know what's really good about making trades later is we have players that are worth trading that we're going to get something back for. Before that, we're trading whatever we can to get whatever we can, and we're totally doing a rebuild. But once we're in progress and doing a good job of drafting, bringing people into the organization, we have people who perform well together, who have for years, that's when we have to start changing the game plan a little bit. It's less of a rebuild, it's more of a push for a cup. And at the same time, you want to make sure you keep your pipeline good for years to come. Do you know what's better than winning the cup? Winning it twice. You know what's better than that? Becoming a dynasty, winning the cup 3 to 5 times in a 10-year period. It's nearly impossible. I'm not sure if anyone's ever done it, but they've come close, and I think that should be the goal. Our goals shouldn't just be things we can achieve. They should be things that are total moonshots, Mars shots, beyond Mars. Elon Musk comes up with them. So yeah, I would say in general, we're kind of kicking ass right now. We should be completely happy with it. We should be enjoying the ride, watching the development, seeing these guys come along, because this is the beginning of the storyline that later, when they're holding the cup up, we're, you know, cutting onions in a dusty room, and really can appreciate better the story. And we move on. So, generally speaking, the team is doing well. They've hit the expectations, now we're trying to exceed them. How about just a general thought on the defense? Is our defense as good as they need to be? The answer is no. It's easily no, right? We're better than we used to be. We're definitely not as good as we used to be, and with Eric Johnson out, we're in a really bad spot. That's just the facts. Our latest Russian experiment in Mironov totally failed. He left here having a little flame war with the Avs and being a grumpy little bitch about it. And maybe he had a point. I don't know. We never got to see enough of him. We never really learned much about him. But from what I saw, this has a lot less to do with his ability to get a slot on the roster and his ability to play his way onto the roster. I think that you don't just get things in this league. You have to earn them. And they didn't feel like he earned a real chance up at the big leagues. So Mironov is a bust. Lindholm is doing okay. He's probably going to be a third pairing. Maybe we could do that. Duncan Siemens is absolutely the story of the defense right now, and I love that he's getting time to play. He makes fewer and fewer mistakes. He doesn't blow you away, but the less that you notice him in a bad way, the better he's playing. He's also a third pairing kind of guy and can probably fill in on a second pairing when he needs to. He does have size, and if he's got somebody out there that he communicates with well, he plays good D. I'll be honest with you, I had long given up on Siemens. I wanted him to do well. He was one of my favorite storylines, a guy that came in with so much hype and then got nowhere and then got nowhere again. And year after year, it looked like he was just going to fade away. And then suddenly he gets a real chance on the team. And I think he's performed well enough to keep getting a look, and he should be in camp next year. And I think that he should be fighting for a spot. And if he can pull that off, then that is the comeback story of the decade for me as far as the Avs go. Eric Johnson's definitely hurt. I think that they want to have him back before the season is over, though. So I think that he could play right now if we were actually in a playoff game. And I think that's what they're working on him for right now, is I think they want him to be available to play in the playoffs should they make the playoffs. If we get down to the last handful of games and he seems like he's pretty healthy, he'll probably go out there and play for us. But I think that they're going to be as careful as they can with him up to the point where if he can go out there and make a difference, that's what he's going to do. At least that's my hope. I wouldn't know any better. I'm not in the locker room, but it sure seems like that's the case with him. Tyson Barrie, everybody's new whipping boy. You either love him or you hate him. And if you hate him, it's because I don't know why people hate him, honestly. I think that Tyson Barrie is doing fine. I think that he brings more than people think that he does. When he has to put it all on his own shoulders, I'm sure they're bigger mistakes, but they're also a bigger stage, and he's doing that because the rest of the team isn't doing their part. When everyone else is firing, he's an excellent complement, not just to the other defensemen, but to any other forwards on the ice at any time. I'm not so sure we should be getting rid of Tyson Barrie. I think we make a legitimate offer to him, and we try to keep him for the time being while we're developing Makar, if he comes along, Timmins, if he comes along, but definitely Girard. I think that Tyson Barrie is still very relevant, and I don't think we'd be too quick to try to get rid of him. As for the Nemeths of the world, the Barbarios, they could come, they could go. I mean, if we need them, we keep them. Otherwise, we let them go off into the wild and find their own new thing. But in general, keeping with the theme, no, defense isn't that awesome right now. It's a place where we need to get a whole lot better. All right, do a little thought experiment here with me. Imagine our first line, the line that you're most likely to see together on the Avs, with the exception of maybe the last couple of weeks where Jared Bednar is doing whatever he's doing. You have Mac in the middle. You have Rantz on one side, and you have Landy on the other side. That's an awesome line. That's a line that should be producing, right? Now put that line away, then what do we have left? Well, we got a Jost, we have a Comper, we have Yak, we have Andrighetto, we have Nieto. These are all okay names, but these are at best second line players. What about Soderberg? What about Como? Well, both good players, vets. Guys who do things consistently, like Soderberg will always put the puck on net. That's how he's been scoring a lot lately, is shooting from places where the puck shouldn't go in, but nobody expected it, therefore the puck goes in. And then you have people like Como who are going to play a good physical game. They're going to get chances. They're going to almost pull off a lot of chances, and sometimes they're going to get it done. These are predictable things that we can come to count on, and we call that a third line. Now, before I go and try to side to you how I think a fourth line is, I know that I've left some people out, and that's very much on purpose. Colin Wilson, to me, is a guy who can every now and then play okay, but all he's really doing is filling a spot. He brings nothing special, no true value add. He's not too much of a liability defensively, but he is just a body out there playing with some other bodies at times. Fine, he's probably not going to be here that long anyways. Toninato is an unknown at this point. Kamenev is an experiment at this point. And Gabriel Bork is just Gabriel Bork. He's been playing well enough to be in the lineup, and I could see them making a case to keep him if we don't have somebody better to put in. Meanwhile, the guy's put some goals in. He's putting his body on people, and he doesn't take penalties. Again, another body, but a body with a little bit more of an upside, and one that I'm appreciating a lot more lately. So if you didn't catch on, I left Kerfoot out, and that is very much on purpose because I wanted to talk a little bit more about him. This is where I want to get in the weeds a little bit. A guy like Kerfoot comes in without a whole lot of expectations because he's a collegiate player coming to play pro hockey, yet he plays really well. He makes a good impression, and he consistently puts the puck on other people's sticks, to take shots. But the problem with him is he doesn't shoot a lot, and I'm not so sure that's a big deal. He is the ultimate wild card to me. Like, I don't know if the guy actually has to do any shooting so long as he's setting up other people to score, to do well. And I think that this is a guy that you could put on a first line if you had to, a second line for sure, and a third line if that's where you got to put him. But he is the ultimate wild card who has a huge upside. And when he is doing well, when he's in his flow, and when the other people around him are on the same radio channel as him, I think that this guy is really a catalyst. He is the kind of linchpin. He is the thing that makes so many other things work. It's not always that guy who has the star contract, who puts in the pretty goal every other game, who's going to win you the games. A lot of times it's that guy who sets things up. He is the catalyst. He is the guy who got things started back at his blue line, or made the pass nobody was expecting to the guy who was a star player but had a whole net to put it in. Kerfoot is totally a wild card and a guy that you have to have on a team, and a huge find that you can't draft for. He's just a guy that you find somewhere and you hold on to him, and I think that's what they're going to need to do with him. He could be valuable for a long time to come, and if he ever gets a shot going, one, I call it a Kerf gun because that's funny, but two, it would really help his game because everyone knows he's passing, every other team knows he's going to pass, and he still pulls it off. But what if every now and then he sniped? Can you imagine him shaking up his arsenal a little bit, where people don't know if he's going to shoot, they don't know if he's going to pass, so they have to play it very neutral, which gives him two options. He could score himself, or he could make that pass, but they definitely can lean towards the pass and get it every other time. So let me recap for you. Kerfoot is probably the most valuable person that we've picked up who wasn't an actual draft pick in 5 years. 10 years, I don't even know. As long as I can remember. What a great job by our scouting staff and our management to get this guy signed. And we move on to the guys who wear the big jerseys. So we've made a lot of to-do about the goaltending situation in Colorado, and that's because we are, in fact, at a place where we got to figure something out. The Avs don't have a whole lot of depth unless you're a big believer in Spencer Martin. I think that beyond that, anybody that we mention is going to be somebody that is a maybe at best. So let's look at what we do actually have on hand. We have the Hamburglar, Hammond, by the way. He is never going to play a game, is what I'm pretty convinced of at this point. So let's just take him out of the mix right away. That leaves us Bernier, who is our backup slash starter number two. And then we have Varlamov, who is everyone's favorite, yet can't seem to put it together in a consistent way. So that puts us with a whole team doing generally a good job, offense that needs work, defense that is not where it needs to be right now, and a goaltending situation where we're not really clear what the future is going to be. Now, both of these guys are playing league average, and from what I've been told and what I listened to on other podcasts, that's a good thing. I still think we should have a little bit more of a rock star in goal, but go find a rock star right now. There's lots of goalies who are good, but finding one who's great is nearly impossible. And guess what? The guys who are shooting pucks at them just keep getting better. I think that the best that we can do is start drafting a little bit in the goaltending area and see what happens. Meanwhile, we're probably going to have to roll with either Varley or Bernier, or keep them both while we have the cap space for it. My hunch, however, is one of those guys is going to be moved, and I'm not so convinced these days that it's not Varley. I think that Varley has a huge upside, but he doesn't have something you can count on. Just like we talked about with Como, we talked about with Soderberg. You know what you're getting, you deal with the downside, but there's an upside that you can count on. In our goaltending right now, I think that the most consistent thing we've had is Bernier, and maybe that's the way the players are playing in front of him, maybe that's his play. And sure, he has an off night every now and then, but look at every other goaltender in the league, so do they. It's realistic for me to imagine a future that has probably Bernier, maybe Varlamov as our number one, Spencer Martin up here as our backup, Hammond goes bye-bye to probably the AHL or KHL or any other L in the world, and we're looking at good enough goaltending, which means that our defense has to be a whole lot better than it is right now, and our offense has to be more potent because that makes our defense have to do less work if we're on the other end. I say all of this in the last 13 minutes and 40 seconds to tell you that I think we're doing awesome. I think this is all part of the plan. I think Joe has this under control. While he had some speed bumps in the beginning, he's learned his lesson. He's come back stronger than he was before. In general, we're good. This and every other podcast that we do is brought to you by Avsfam, absfam.com. It's a website where you can go and you can buy really cool hockey gear, hockey shirts, hockey stickers, hockey hats, hockey everything that has to do specifically with the Colorado Avalanche. It's not team wear, it's not logo wear, this is fan wear. This is made for the fans, by a fan, in a very authentic way, and we think that they're really awesome. You could wear them as a hockey fan or not. You could wear them to a bar and people would be like, I don't know what that is, but it's awesome. Are you Condor Man? Is that what you are? Are you a superhero? And you could say, yes, I am, and leave it at that. Meanwhile, we know that Eric Johnson is the Condor, and if you're at the game, that's the shirt you should be wearing for him. It's good times, people. These are awesome shirts made just for you. Go check it out, absfam.com. Stay awesome. We're gonna let this play out.